The scripture lesson this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 5 through 9, and you can follow along up on the screen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. I may have some competition here today, huh? That's all right. There was a small boy that was a toddler aged, and he was sent to bed at bedtime by his father. And about 5 minutes later, there came this holler from upstairs, "Dad!" "What?" the dad answered. "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a glass of water?" Dad said, "No, you had your chance. Lights out." About 5 minutes later, there was another call from upstairs. "Dad, can you please bring me a glass of water?" And the father, intent to teach his child a lesson, said again, "No, that's not going to happen. And if you ask me again, I'm going to come upstairs and have to discipline you. You're going to get a swat." So he thought he had handled it at that point, and another 5 minutes went by, and all of a sudden, "Dad!" "What?" "When you come upstairs to spank me, can you please bring a glass of water?" It's Father's Day, and we can all remember things like that. I remember in my house, when I was in my teenage years, I'd be listening to KMOX radio. We could get the signal in my little town, and I'd be listening to the Cardinals game with Jack Buck and Mike Shannon, and listening especially late at night when the Cardinals were playing on the West Coast and the Dodgers and the Giants out there at that time. And we lived in an old two-story home, and I could always hear when my dad would be coming up the steps. And he would tell me, "Turn that radio off, it's getting late." So I'd turn it off, and then I'd hear him go back down the steps, and I'd turn it back on again and listen to the game, and hopefully he didn't hear me again. Sometimes he did. So a similar story. In Norway, there are great ships, and they start off on the southernmost tip of that nation, and they make their way to the northwest coastlines. The northernmost part of those coastlines. And these ships are part of the pride of their country, but they're also part of the country that brings them together commercially. You know, with what happened in Baltimore earlier this year, you find that those causeways and everything bring in a lot of commerce to cities in our country, and the same was true here. So when a ship goes down, the entire nation takes notice, much the way we did when that bridge was tragically taken out in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. There was a story that on one day a vessel did go down at night, and people were listening, and they were shocked that it happened, and they paused to remember. And it wasn't that long after that large ship sank, that same day, that same moment, later on a smaller vessel also sank. It was kind of a strange coincidence, but upon investigation, they realized, after speaking to the people that survived, the captain of the smaller ship said, "We didn't have any navigation, and so we were following the larger ship." It simply followed the larger ship, thinking that nothing could happen to it. Today is Father's Day, and we ask ourselves the question, who's following you? Who's following you today? There's a simple saying that bears repeating that goes, any man can be a father, but it takes a special man to be a father. I think that's very true. And so it's a huge responsibility. But it's even a larger responsibility when we begin to realize that you place your faith as a Christian and being a Christian father and all that that brings with it. It's a challenge. And while we have help from pastors and Sunday school teachers and leaders in the community, it's the commandment that Christ gave to us. It is in addition to what parents have to offer, for God has given the primary responsibility to parents. This is a huge responsibility, and those of you who have been parents, are still parents, or just getting started as parents, are realizing, or do already realize, the large amount of responsibility it takes to be a parent, and especially a Christian father, in this culture and in this day and age. Today's scripture lesson provides for us a central theme of what the entire book, or even the first five books of the Bible, or the Old Testament, are trying to get across to us. The Torah, or the Septuagint, those first five books written by Moses. And it sets a pattern for us, and it helps us to understand that God's word isn't something that we just take lightly. It isn't something that we just do on Sundays. It's something that we don't just do once in a while when we feel like it. God's word is something that's to be part of our daily lives. It says in the scripture that I read this morning that we are to love God continually, that we are to think about his commandments, that we are to teach his commandments to our children, and that we live each day, each and every day, by the guidelines of God's word. God emphasized this in this text that he used through Moses to teach us. And so while there's a good chance that churches are teaching children today, and Christian schools are teaching children, and homeschool parents are teaching children, these are not replacements for parents teaching their children the Word of God. It's a huge responsibility for parents to be involved in teaching their children about God, in leading them to an understanding of who Jesus, God's Son, is, and what Jesus did on the cross, and why he did it to save their lives from eternal separation from God. And that God provided through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that would guide them and be there, and that still small voice of God in their heart and their minds as they make life changes and adjustments based on that. The Bible provides so many wonderful opportunities for us, so many lessons that we could teach. And you all know the stories, and many of you grew up in Sunday school and you learned them every week. But today, it's much more challenging for children to learn those things. For they come from divided and separated homes where they don't always have that opportunity to come to church each week. And so we often miss children and miss the opportunity to have them here. And so that becomes even more important that the parent that is involved in the church brings that child to an understanding of faith and commitment. Eternal truths that are most effectively learned, they're most effectively learned in a loving and God-fearing environment of the home, of the Christian home. In our nation today, it's Father's Day. And as I was looking on the calendar, I was thinking, wow, you know, it's almost summer. And you all, like me, are saying when you stepped out the door this morning, it is already summer. It feels like summer. It's so hot outside, and you're right. But summer begins next Sunday, and today is the last Sunday in spring, believe it or not, even though it feels very much like summer. But on this day, We choose to set aside a moment to honor fathers and call it Father's Day. But the biblical implications of being a Christian father, just like on Mother's Day, also apply today to mothers, to grandparents, to aunts, to uncles, to those who have a role as a father figure, someone that maybe not even has their own biological child. We also realize that there are others that look up to those people. For me, it was my scoutmaster, it was my pastor, it was my uncle, my aunt, my dad, of course. It was people like that. Later on, it became my choir director in college who mentored me, and my seminary professor who mentored me. These are the people that I looked up to, and I know that you have them as well. But also, we have to be aware as older siblings that younger siblings come along and they watch us and they see what we're doing. And so we have to understand this as well, that we set the example for our younger brothers and sisters, those who come up behind us. In this world today, we see more and more of athletics than we've ever seen before. It's on TV all the time, on YouTube, etc. You find it everywhere. Seemed to me that back in the 80s or 90s, there were athletes that all of a sudden started coming out and saying, I don't want to be a role model. Well, guess what? You are anyway. There are people that are looking to you. There are people that are watching you. And it's the same for the Christian, the same for the Christ follower. There are people that are looking to you to see something different about your life. Those people that are outside the walls of this church that observe you at lunch, whether or not you pray, they observe how you treat your neighbor, they observe how you treat your family, they're watching you. And many of them don't come to worship because they see hypocrisy in us. We need to realize that there are people that are following us, whether we want them to or not, or whether we realize they are or not, especially those little ones who look up to us as an example. I ask again, who is following you? Who is following you? I must admit that when our children were born, they didn't come with a handbook. How about any of the rest of you? Did you get any kind of a handbook? Well, I thought about this, and of course, we have the best handbook that we could ever have. It's in the Scripture. And we often fail. We often fall short of God's glory. We know this from the book of Romans. We fall short of the glory of God. But God equips us. God gives us the opportunity to exemplify faithfulness to Him, that we show to our families. I often tell people at Christmas Eve, well, we're going to have family over. Well, bring them to church. Well, they won't come. Okay, then you come and set the example. You show them that it's important, that it's part of who you are, because they are following you. And maybe one day they will follow you. God equips us to exemplify that faithfulness to Christ in all that we say and all that we do for others. The Scripture has much to say about fathers, and Scripture has much to say about all of us who are being observed. I want you to hear again the beginning of this Scripture passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And first of all, I want to draw attention to the very first couple of words, "Hear, O Israel." Hear, O Israel. This is a call. This is a call to the people of God that about what is going to be said is important. "Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And also part of that verse 1 is saying that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." In a nation where there were many gods in the Old Testament time, to say that the Lord our God is one was important for Israel to hear. In a country like ours today, it is important. Hear, O United States of America, The Lord your God is one. And then to follow that up with love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus said that loving God with all of ourselves is the first and the greatest commandment. What does that mean, though, to love God? What does that really mean? We have a challenge with this in our culture as well, because we understand love to mean so many different things. It could be a brotherly love. It could be an erotic love. But this type of love is a different kind of a love. And it is a love that we love God with all that we have, everything, our entire being, of all who we are. This command is also then combined with the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. We talked about this last week when we spoke of the greatest, the golden rule. It's right there. Our lives are to be focused not just on ourselves. We have to sell out to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves. We have to give everything that we are, all of who we are, to God the Father. We must revere Him in the home. He must take the center stage, if you will. He must be everything about that household. To be totally involved and totally committed, totally sold out to God. But in this day and age, it seems that we have so many things going on, so many other activities, that we've sold out to them. And we ask ourselves questions like, who are you following on Facebook? Who are you following on social media? How many followers do I have? And I ask you yet again the question, who is following you? Look around you. Who is following you? Is it that classmate? Is it that work co-worker? Is it that fellow church member? Who is following you? Is it that neighbor? Is it that friend? Is it the person at the drive-thru at McDonald's? Is it the person you see at the bank? Who is following you? Our lives are to be focused upon God and not ourselves. And that's often the basic problem. We're going in the wrong direction. We've seen our world go in the wrong direction the last 8 to 10 years or more. Many more years than that, probably. We've seen it. People are looking in the wrong direction. And when we fall off and we look in the wrong direction, God gives us the opportunity to renew our allegiance to Him and to renew our commitment to Him. But whatever your leadership position in this world is, whatever your situation is in this life, I ask you, who is following you? It's time for us to get that as our focus. I'd like to pause here just for a moment and ask you to bow your heads with me, and I'm going to offer a poem as a prayer. And I just ask that you'd reflect with me. It's a short poem and reading. Dear Lord, direct me not to focus my concern on my stress and anxiety, but rather on you. Let me thankfully realize that all in my daily walk, which is good, true, lovely, heartwarming, joyous, exhilarating, comes from you. Let my dreams and aspirations lead me upward to you, that I may be filled with wonder, admiration, awe, and worship of you. Then the pressures will be put in proper perspective, the focus clear, the picture in true proportion. You. Amen. And now, I would like for you to return with me to verses 6 and 7 of this scripture. Moses writes, "Those commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impose them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Well, when in the world are we supposed to talk about these things? All the time. When you look at that verse and when you hear that verse and you have it upon your heart, when are you to do it? You're to talk to your children about the scriptures. You're to talk about the scriptures when you sit, when you're relaxing, when you rise, when you walk along the road, when you lie down at night, and when you get up in the morning. That's a whole day. And all of the other things that you do in between. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. When something is on your heart, when someone is in your heart, it means everything to you. And you would do anything for that person that is in your heart. Whether it be God, your family, a coworker, a neighbor, impress these things upon them, especially your young children. Your window of opportunity is so very short. Just look at how quickly my three little boys grew up. Unbelievable, isn't it? Yep. The Hebrews were extremely good at this stuff. I think we need to take some direction from them today as we think about what this really means. They were successful about it. Why? Because they made it an integral part of their life. They successfully educated their people, not by information, but by lifestyle. And so there is a word that wasn't mentioned in this particular passage or translation, but it's the word phylactery. I love to say that word. I feel important when I say it, phylactery. If you don't know what a phylactery is, well, I'm about to tell you. It's a post-it note. It's a scrap piece of paper with something important written on it. A phylactery was something that you carried, a box or a leather pouch, a European man bag. Like that one, Chance? Something that you carry with you, and inside of it is where you write the scripture on the papyrus paper, on the post-it note today, or on the email that you send. You write this information down. You have it with you all the time, and you practice it. They recited this very passage of scripture that I read to you now and I'm unpacking for you this morning. They recited it daily, many times a day. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." These are the things that they did in the context, in the daily living that they had. It wasn't just something that they did on a high holy day or a day that they came to worship. It was something that they did every single day. And the key to teaching your children to love God is stated simply and clearly, dads. It's very simply stated there. If you want your children to follow God, you must make God part of your everyday life. You must make God part of your everyday life. You must teach your children diligently to see God in all aspects of your life, not just those who are church related. In other words, we don't just put on our good Sunday clothes and come to church and kid ourselves into believing that we're acting it out and living it out every other day of the week. It is to be a lifestyle. It is to be something that people see you and they're drawn to our God, that they understand more clearly because you're living it out, that they can see these scriptures come to life. They can understand who God is because he's seen through you. And so Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 8 to 9 talk about how they did these things. You remember when you were young, you heard the story about tying a string around your finger? It was to remind you of something, right? And when you tied that around your finger, then you went to the store and you remembered to get something. It was kind of a psychological effect that you had. And then when you got to the store, you had to remember what it was. And sometimes you forgot. But what they did here is they tied these symbols on their left arm so they could look and they could read them. They posted them up on their forehead so other people could see the scripture. They were there on their door frames of their homes and in their houses and on their gates. Again, it doesn't leave any question as to where the Word of God is supposed to be. It's supposed to be everywhere for everyone to see and everyone to hear and everyone to talk about. Write them down on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The point is that we need visual reminders. It's one of the better ways of learning. It's a better way than learning about within what I'm doing right now in this monologue delivery. By doing it, by seeing it, those are the better ways to learn. So I ask you and I ask myself, what Christian symbols do you have in your home? Is there a picture of Jesus in your home? Is there a cross in your home? Is there some kind of scripture or Christian art that is placed? Is there a book? Is there the Bible that you read placed in a significant place? Not recently, but a while back, I found that you can purchase these little self-adhesive things that you can put up on your wall. It won't bother your paint or anything. You can get them at Walmart for like 99 cents, probably a couple bucks now. But anyway, you can put them up on your wall, and they're scriptures, and you can see them, and they look pretty, and they blend in with whatever paint color you have because they're clear. Look for those if that's something that you would find comforting. Put one up in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in your living room, wherever. What is it that you need to do to see the Word of God, to post it as these did long ago? That's how they learned. They was part of their everyday existence. The scriptures have a lot to say about how we should treat children and how we should raise them. The book of Proverbs comes to mind in a very familiar passage of scripture from chapter 22, verse 6, which says, "Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it." Someone who used to come to church here told me one time, "Did you ever really look at that passage and think about it?" And I said, "Well, yeah, of course I did." The person said to me, "Well, did you ever realize there's a gap in there?" I said, "What? What do you mean there's a gap in there?" "Well, look at it again. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old." So there's a gap in there, isn't there? There seems to be some times when people fall away or when they kind of spread their wings and do their own thing and try to figure out life out for themselves, and then they remember, oh yeah, when they have their kids or when mom and dad aren't doing as well and they realize, oh my goodness, these things that my parents taught me, I will return to those things. It's never too late, even when you have adult children, to remember that they can return to those things that you taught them. And this is one that I need to work on, and my wife will be shaking her head yes here in a moment. There's another scripture in Ephesians that says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children." I love teasing my boys and giving them a hard time, and they do the same to me, but sometimes it goes a little too far. And there's too much. And so you back off of that. But it says, instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Mom and I tried to do that for you boys. We weren't always successful. We didn't always do everything that we should. But our hearts were in the right place. And you know where they are today. Heavy stuff, isn't it? the huge responsibility to be a parent, to be a grandparent, a major responsibility. We need to be reminded of this again and again, especially in our world today. I want you to recall with me then again how our scripture started this morning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Serve God with everything that you have. Serve God with your entire being. This includes being a parent with all your heart. Some days it will be extremely taxing. Some days you will have your heart broken. Some days you will want to throw in the towel and say, "Why did we ever have these kids?" But it means a great responsibility because you are to grow and to bring that child up. And remember the dedication that you had for that child when you stood in front of God and in front of a congregation and you committed yourself and dedicated that child in the name of Jesus Christ, and the congregation that promised along with you and covenanted together with you to help that child be raised in a Christian home and to a knowledge and saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Teach those children the Lord's Prayer, the Golden Rule, the books of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the greatest commandment that we've talked about today, and many, many others that are within the good book. It means you place in the hands of your children the Holy Scriptures. And there are so many wonderful translations out today that are geared toward special age groups and where people are in life at that moment. Make sure that you get those words into their hands. And all of this is to point your child in the direction of Jesus, who by his death on the cross gave to all the world, for all those who believe, eternal life. Do you raise your children, or have you raised your children, as if nothing else is more important than that child's spiritual welfare? That's what we're called to do. And as I said, you and I have often failed as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, older brothers and sisters, people in positions of power and authority. We've often fallen short. But we can renew our commitment to Christ. We can seek forgiveness and repent, and we can commit ourselves afresh and anew. That's the good news, that God empowers us to be loving parents, loving examples, loving role models to all that are watching us. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, these words about God. God said, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty." I know just as Mother's Day is often a difficult day for some, that Father's Day may be difficult to others. Perhaps you had a very loving and wonderful dad, like I did and many of you had. And so this day is mixed with emotion if that father is no longer present here on earth with us. We miss them. We love them. We're grateful for them. And we can praise God for them. Perhaps there you're here today and you did not have that good father. And I would say to you that I'm sorry for that. But I know that you have a great opportunity today to change that direction, because someone else now is following you. And you have the opportunity to correct that path and set their course that will never stray from them, from God. There was a man who one day had a day off from work, and he worked pretty hard, and he decided that on his day off, he'd spend time at the local bar. And so he slipped quietly away from his home, and he trotted across a snow-covered field not far from his house. toward the destination of the bar. He hadn't gone very far, and he heard a voice behind him. It was his 6-year-old son. He said to him, "Go ahead, Daddy. I'm walking in your steps." Shocked, the man stopped in his tracks. The dad picked up his son in his arms and, collecting his thoughts, said, "Now, what shall we do today together?" And he turned around and he changed and he went in a new direction. Dads, on this Father's Day, may I ask you again, who's following in your tracks? Who's following in your footsteps? And what example are you setting for them? And by the way, dads, who are you following? Who's your Father? Who's your Savior? Who's your guide? Because someone is watching. As Christians, may we fulfill this high calling. As parents, as leaders, as role models, as examples to all those who are following. And I wish each and every one of you a very happy Father's Day. And I pray that this will be a very special day for you, all of you, that it may be joyous, that it may be blessed. Because, dads, someone is following you. Amen.